The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin, mostly.
I'm Chad, all the way.
This is the gaming segment, and of course, the Geek Cave, as always, brought to you by BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. You guys know they're doing retro stuff? Did you know that?
We found out last segment.
Yeah, well, for those of you who didn't listen to the comics podcast for whatever reason...
Wait, that was last segment? I thought we were listening to NPR.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, GameStop is now accepting more retro trade-ins at all of their locations, and you can pick up some retro stuff as well. You can get a Dreamcast for $55, guys. That's a pretty sweet deal. So, GameStop.
So they are selling the actual consoles as well?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Oh, GameCube, you are mine.
Yes. So, check it out, GameStop.com. You can find the selection, find out if they've got it at your store as well, or just have it delivered. It's easier. You don't have to leave the house. Gaming. All right. I guess I'll turn it over to you guys before I take over. What do you got?
All right. Well, I actually have a little bit of news. I know. Shocking. Yeah.
What? This whole day is just weird.
Yeah. Do you need a lie down?
Oh, okay. Right. Darren's going to lay down.
Okay, good for him. Okay. these days... video games have dialogue. We, the three of us, grew up in an era where video games had 8-bit noises. Or if there was any, you know, voiceover work, it was very badly produced. An example is, Blades are steel! There's also Double Dwibble.
God, I love that game.
Yeah, either way. You know, not a lot of talking.
Or,
yeah. Oddly enough, that still happens to this day, depending on the game.
Well, you know, why break a classic?
Yeah. But as technology has advanced, games have become a little bit more in-depth in their storytelling ability, which means you generally kind of need people to talk to each other within a game. Thus enters the voice actor. Somebody has to sit down at a microphone, like us, and record all of this dialogue. And not just the dialogue. All the grunts and the yells and other sundry noises, you know.
Don't forget the little snarky asides.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Where would Uncharted be without the snarky asides?
So what I'm saying is, yes, there's a lot of work that goes into making the game look good and play good, but there's also a lot of work that goes into making it sound good. Unfortunately, these voice actors, they get a flat rate. They get paid for their like 4 or 5 hour session of work, and that's it. Now, I don't speak for a living, you know, that's not my job, but I do know what it's like to perform for a very long time, almost nonstop. It does take a toll on your voice, and voice actors generally line up maybe 2 or 3 gigs a day, and if you have to sit in a booth for 4 hours going over and over again, it's going to... Darren's over there laughing. Thank you.
He's going to sample all of those things for the Geek Cave app.
It's going to take a toll on your voice, and if you can't work the next day because you suddenly have laryngitis from grunting for 4 hours, it takes a toll, but you have your flat rate.
Right.
The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which I'm not going to say again because it's an incredibly long name. Basically, they represent voice actors, not just in television and movies, but video games as well. They are on strike. Voice actors for video games are on strike, and it involves a lot of major companies, including EA and Disney. Basically, they had like a 19-month negotiation where they were trying to get secondary compensation for their work. Some sort of... They don't get residuals. They wanted something else. Like, okay, when a game sells, for every 2 million copies, they get a portion. You know, not if for every copy sold, just, mm-hmm. here, you guys are making a lot of money. We would like a little bit more for our time and effort. That went unnoticed, and the contracts that they had expired in late 2014. So basically all games that went into production as of 2015 by these big heavy hitters, mm-hmm. they probably won't have good voice actors. And there's a lot of people who are... Tara Strong is one of those people who is supporting this. I don't know what that woman does to her voice, but she can do just about anything.
Yeah.
Make any kind of sound come out of her mouth. That's essential when you're doing video game voiceovers. Quiet, you. Chad's over there smirking.
I said nothing.
So... if they don't come to some sort of an agreement soon, video games are probably going to be a little sucky for a while in terms of... I mean, I guess you could mute it and read the captions, but then you kind of lose something.
Yeah.
So we will see how this plays out.
The whole thing's just auto-tuned.
Well, you know,
we should do that for an episode. Just auto-tune an entire episode.
Nintendo Fool's Day, the April podcast. We set the whole thing to a beat and just auto-tune it.
Key of G for Geek Cave.
That's right. Well, key of G modulating to a C.
There you go. Yes. Darren, make it happen. Not now, later.
First, he needs to know what modulate means.
Anyway,
when two chords love each other very much.
All right.
So yeah, we'll keep you posted as stuff happens. So that's all I got.
All the stuff I had was going to be reacting to you talking about Switch.
Okay.
Well, then up my own. Say again.
Let's get my failure out of the way before we talk about Switch then. Okay.
When has Darren ever failed?
Twice in this month.
Wait, I got a list somewhere. Let me find it.
Okay. So, y'all know my year of backlog continues.
Oh, video game failures. Never mind. Oh. Wrong list.
Oh, my.
Anyway, my year of backlog continues. And... I tried real hard, guys. I tried. This was a game that is held up as one of the best of the best. Everyone who I know...
Qbert.
And a lot of people I don't know who have played it, they all love it. But I hated The Witcher 2. I hated it. It was boring. I couldn't even make it out of the first act. I just couldn't.
Hmm.
It's a game that takes place in medieval times. You play a guy who apparently is amazing as far as luck with the women goes. You know, he's pretty much like... Imagine
Justin.
Imagine Gambit, but with a sword.
Oh, Justin.
Yeah, Justin. Imagine Justin, but... an albino Justin.
Okay.
So, fights monsters in his spare time.
So, basically, it's me if I don't go outside for a week.
Yeah. You know, there's a potion crafting element. I just, I'm sorry. I just couldn't get through this game. It bored the crap out of me. So I switched over in the spirit of Halloween and for the first time tried Dead Space, which was available through EA's Origin, you know, free games through the EA Origin program. And let me tell you guys, I hated that one too.
Dude's batting 1,000.
All right. The premise is simple. You're stuck on a spaceship. Of course, the lights are all going off from time to time. There's jump scares aplenty because these zombie-like monsters have gotten aboard the ship. And in order to kill them, you can't just shoot them. You have to, like, dismember them. You've got the special weapon that cuts their limbs off. It's fine. But it also lacks character, in my opinion. Once you've had 2 or 3 jump scares, you pretty much know that's all that they have in their wheelhouse. So, yeah, I tried and failed to get through 2 games this month, Witcher 2 and Dead Space. I both give them a thumbs down. I don't recommend either one of them. I know that a lot of people will probably be calling for my head, especially after Witcher 2, because, again, that game is for some reason holy, but it's crap, guys.
Well, people said the same thing about Skyrim, and I didn't make it past the intro.
Well, speaking of Skyrim, and tying in with the conversation about audio, the special edition for Skyrim just came out. You know, it's basically the PC version, except now on PS4 and Xbox One. And when you get that first level up, because I loved Skyrim, and when you level up for the first time, there's this big triumphant music. And it's that's not a natural representation, by the way. Apparently, the Xbox One version has some really compressed audio, so it sounds less triumphant and more like a couple of mentally challenged turtles mating.
What?
Yeah, essentially. It's super compressed, just sounds rotten. It's terrible. And apparently, Bethesda says that they're aware of the situation. What a surprise, a Bethesda game launching with bugs. Who knew? By the way, Bethesda's not sending review copies out anymore.
Yeah.
Wait, to us or in general?
In general. They say
in
that...
general.
Okay.
Yeah, they say that... They say that the success of Doom, which also didn't have review copies sent out until the day before release, they say that since that was such a sales success, they're just going to follow that. We always do good quality. Don't look at how most of our games launch. Just look at how they're remembered. So...
Well, they are sending them. They're just sending them, like, the day before.
They are, except certain YouTubers have received copies a week. So it's interesting, because Bethesda sends out this press release saying they want the press and the public to enjoy the game all at the same time, but they're sending YouTubers copies well before. YouTubers who have been, most likely, promised to give it a good review, because we know that that's a thing that happens. So...
Or give no review if it's bad.
So, Bethesda says they're looking out for the consumer, but it looks like this practice is just looking out for them.
Reviews are good for us, guys.
Yeah. It's good for everybody.
Reviews allow us to make informed decisions.
Yep.
They keep you accountable to your customers, to your shareholders.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I'm just saying.
It is what it is. So, all right. Now, let's talk about the big thing that happened in between episodes. The Nintendo Switch, formerly the Nintendo NX, has finally been revealed. And I'm excited. But
I cannot tell you how disappointed I am that it wasn't the NES Classic in a glorious head fake. But I will say the Switch looks interesting.
Yeah, for those of you who somehow have missed it, I don't know how, it's right there on deepcavepodcast.com.
That's how.
It's a console, but it's also a handheld. Like what we've been hearing, you've got these controller bits that You can have like a standard controller, or you can remove them from that housing, clip them directly to the console, pull the console out of a stand, and ta-da, it's a handheld. Looks pretty seamless when going from handheld display, which looks like it looks like a 720p display on maybe like a 6-inch screen to the big screen.
Estimates of a 6.5 yeah. inch display.
So it looks like a really cool concept. However, I mean, we saw a bunch of stuff. We saw Zelda. We saw a brief glimpse of a new Mario game. A brief glimpse of a new Mario Kart. We saw Skyrim. We saw NBA 2K series, and we saw a new Splatoon. But Nintendo and all the other developers have been quick to point out that doesn't actually mean any of those games are coming, except for Zelda, which has already been announced. But I think it would be pretty silly to show off stuff like Skyrim and NBA and Splatoon and not actually deliver on said things. Because it looks like Nintendo is really pushing for the pro market, or not pro, but the, you know, professional gamer, the hardcore gamer market. And I was really intrigued. They're going back to cartridges. They're using game cards is what they call them. They're a little bigger than the 3DS cartridge. And it will not be backwards compatible with either the Wii U or the 3DS as far as physically. We don't know about digital yet. We don't know the price. That's coming on January 12th. And, of course, you can check out geekcavepodcast.com on that day. We will upload the live stream, and we will get you up to date as soon as the price is announced. But overall, I kind of liked what I see. It comes out in March, and as long as the price is right, it could be pretty good for Nintendo.
Hell, even I was intrigued.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
The I like the idea. I'm a little disappointed that the dock does not have any real purpose beyond TV out and
charge. It does have a couple USB ports, so it might be to charge devices or maybe add flash memory. I noticed that.
That was something that I said to Justin the other night, was that they're going to need to make sure that there's another slot for extra memory. I mean, after the Wii U, and it's horrible, horrible, you know, memory storage.
Well, I'm hoping that these little cartridges that they use will have plenty of onboard memory, because, you know, that's something you don't get with the discs, with the cards. They look like modified SD cards, and you know those can hold a lot of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also worry that because the tablet seems to be the console, you know, almost entirely, now you're turning this this little console with a battery that's going to be heating up and so on and so forth in this little plastic sandwich. And so there's a part of me that's worried about heat and this, you know, delicate flower of a console.
Now you're talking about the docking station, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
The docking station. I kind of wish that they had had just a little bit more horsepower in the docks. It's like, oh, okay, so you put it in the dock, you'll get true HD gaming. You know, you'll get a little bit of maybe you could plug the dock into your internet directly to get a little bit faster online stuff here, there, yonder. But the heavy lifting's still done by the tablet. You take the tablet, you're still going to get a good experience. I did laugh during the reveal trailer at apparently what they think I'm going to take a console to do. It's like, oh man, I got to take the dog for a walk. You know what? I want to play Zelda. Oh, my friends are going to go drinking. You know what I ought to do? I ought to bring a game. It's like, gee, Karen, we're drinking here.
Thanks, Karen. Yeah. You've got a problem, Karen.
So, I like the flexibility of it. I like the, because it really does look like an insanely flexible system. Be able to do this, do that, split screen on a tablet like that. You know, I could see somebody who has kids that being just a godsend.
Yeah. And it looks like you don't have to buy multiple things. The two side controllers that snap off can turn into individual controllers. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I might pick up the Pro controller that we saw in the Splatoon bit, which basically looks like a modified Xbox One controller. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But it looks like however they decide to sell this, it'll come with two controllers right off the bat, which hasn't happened since the SNES.
Yeah. So, it looks interesting. It looks good. By not being backwards compatible, it's pretty much assured that now I have to go and get a Wii U in order to play the 8 or 9 Wii U games that I found it interesting enough to play.
Including the one I gave you, yeah.
Yeah, the two.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Two you gave me. Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2. But then there's, you
Bayonetta know, harder?
Yeah. Then there's Yoshi's Woolly World, and there's Mario Maker and Mario Wii U, whatever version 3D that World, one is. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's good games on the Wii U that if the Switch had been backwards compatible, if they'd put a CD drive in the dock so that only while it's docked, you can only play the Wii U stuff while it's...
Yeah, that's okay.
I've been like, you know what? Yes. It would have been a day one purchase for me. Now, next year, after I play Darren's. Oh, stop looking at me like that. Like, Darren's not going to get one as soon as he bloody well can.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's true. When does it come out?
It comes out in March. We don't have a firm date or price, but calling it here, because we do have...
Until we get a firm date... Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's just going to take off the entire month of March just to be on the safe
side. Well, you guys know the power that the Deep Cave has. Usually we talk about something needs to happen and then it happens. So this thing needs to come out. It'll probably come out the last week of March. And it needs to be around $300 or $350. Anything more than that, and I think it'll spook off a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. And if it comes out in the last week of March, then you can always get one for my spouse for her birthday.
Wink!
We'll talk.
Or you fine listeners out there. TGC Liz has a birthday coming up.
There you go.
Or you get it in time for Easter. Yeah, that's April 16th. You know, that's just... You get it, and then 2 weeks later, Easter gifts are ready. Yeah. Only need one for the whole family.
Not a bad plan. All right. You got anything else?
Not that I can really come up with off the top of my head. I'd written a couple of ideas down, but we pretty much covered them.
Okay. All right.
When it comes to the Switch, I think that it's a brave choice for Nintendo, especially with their seeming lack of support for the 3DS lately.
Yeah.
I mean, the third party is still going strong on 3DS, but I haven't seen a whole lot of Nintendo.
Well, Pokemon.
Supporting
Pokemon just came out, yeah.
Just yet. Mm-hmm.
That'll keep them going until, like, 2018. Yeah.
True. So it's brave choice. I hope it pays off for them. It's the same level of... innovation as the Wii. You know, the Wii with its motion controls and its decommitment to high-def gaming. the Switch kind of saying, hey, we're committed to making sure that you can play this, your game, the game you buy from us, anywhere you want to play it. In just about any configuration you can imagine.
Yeah.
That's smart thinking on their part.
It looks like taking Sony's remote play concept and actually making it work.
Yeah. I think that it's not going to sell as much as they want it to, because they're going to look for Wii numbers, and the Wii was perfect for every age.
Yeah.
Literally every single age could play the Wii.
I mean, that was one of those rare things that just kind of printed money. I mean,
It was like the anti-Virtual Boy.
All right. Well, in that regard, I think it's safe to say we all think the Switch is a great idea. Don't fuck it up.
Truth.
All right.
True words have never been
spoken. We'll
wrap
up this segment of the Geek Cave. We do hope that you download the comics and movie segments, which should be available in your iTunes or Android Hopper right now, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. And wherever you listen to us, please be sure to rate us. That lets us know what kind of a job we're doing. So rate us 5 stars, unless you think we're crap. Then give us whatever rating you find appropriate, or just don't rate us at all if you think we're crap. So maybe I've said too much. We'll take a break and check back with you in the movie segment. Remember, everyone's a geek for something.